There it is, another edition of the Oswegonian Hockey Podcast. Hello, everyone, and thank you for tuning in right here on whatever app you do listen to the Oswegonian Hockey Podcast. Michael Gross alongside Zach Case and Thomas Bubba Turgeon. Boys, this was, I think, really the first energetic and exciting weekend of hockey. Obviously, we're in full swing. But this one felt like it was mid-season form. Not necessarily by the way they played, but just the atmosphere in which they did it.
Yeah, most definitely. You had both teams, men's and women's, going into league play this weekend. So the points a little more crucial in a way, as well as national rankings go. But yeah, new HL action back in, Suniac action back in, league play is starting up. So things are really starting to heat up, and we're looking forward to this weekend coming up.
Yeah, two teams on the road, or two games on the road, two games at home in the Deb, and I thought there was a lot of exciting action. We talked about the games on the road. We were able to watch some of them, hear some broadcasts from NYO, and then we were able to see what the women's team had to do in the Deborah F. Stanley against some teams in their conference, and honestly, a solid weekend, and we're really seeing what these teams are starting to be, what identity they're going to have throughout this season.
And that actually, the identity of these teams actually starts, well, it started last weekend, the beginning of conference play. For the men, we'll start first. The first Suniac win of the year, a massive 3 points on the weekend. Potsdam go in and just win 2-1, their fifth straight win versus the Bears. They outshot them 16-10 in the first period. So it was competitive, yet Oswego still had the edge. It didn't look like they were going to take this one at all. They gave up the first goal with 7:47 into the first period. They didn't look great, but they ended up turning it around.
Yeah, absolutely. You saw in that first period, it was relatively sloppy, as we mentioned, that first goal coming off a turnover in front of the net, and Kozakowski really didn't have much of a chance on it. But they relatively turned it around in the second period. As mentioned, they pop in two with goals from Andriachi and Bunka. But overall, looking at that game as a whole, I'm not really satisfied with that win. As we talked about last week, if you're Oswego State going into Potsdam, you really had to set a statement and potentially beat them by 3-4 goals in Maxie Hall Ice Arena. So if you're Oswego, I think that's a game that you wish you could have made more of a name for yourself. But regardless, you take 3 points and you move on to Plattsburgh in that.
I think one thing you got to bring up is the bus breakdown.
Oh, yeah.
They did get to the rink, I think 30 minutes before warmups. So that puts kind of a wrench in the situation. As a hockey player, you're definitely not in the same routine and getting mentally checked in for that hockey game. So that might cause what happened in the first period. Who knows? You know, but getting into the second period, talk about those two goals. You see some guys getting guys getting on the score sheet that you haven't really talked about all season in the beginning half of the season right now. Then Bunka also getting that point shot goal, a nice solid goal from up top, and a guy that we talk about a lot in and out of the lineup also, and doing a solid job when he's in. So honestly, it's a good comeback win. It's a good team win, only giving up one goal. Talk about the special teams. Oswego went 0-2 on the power play. Potsdam went 0-3. So the penalty kill did its job. But in terms of really – Oswego taking care of business on the power play against Potsdam, you got to bury one. You got to bury at least one, possibly two. You got to take advantage of the special teams. We'll talk about it a lot, but honestly, 5-on-5 hockey, Oswego's not bad at, and they're good at, and they can play with teams. But one thing is, teams in the upper half of this national poll, when you put them up on an advantage, they will bury you on the power play.
Yeah, I completely agree on that. And this almost is a preview going in this weekend. They're facing off against one team whose power play is relatively good in the Cortland Red Dragons, but we'll touch up on that later. But Connor Green, the goaltender for the Bears that night, he was sensational. He kept them in it numerous times. I'm not saying Kozakowski didn't either, but out of the two, he really set a name for himself, and there's no doubt in my mind that he will get the start a majority of the season for Potsdam this season.
Yeah, I mean, he was unbelievable. Every time I looked up, he's making another crazy save. He kept Potsdam around and at one point in the lead for a while. He's the reason the game was 2-1 instead of 5-1, instead of 6-1.
But, Case, you talked about how, you know, the Lakers didn't convert on the power plays. Potsdam doesn't have that great of a PK. 2 years ago, two seasons ago, the PK was just 750. That doesn't win you Suniacs. That doesn't get you to the tournament. That barely even gets you into the Suniac tournament itself. But even then, the Lakers still struggled, right? Special teams is going to be something that we're going to hone in on all year. And if you can't have it be successful against Potsdam, you're sure as hell not going to have it be successful against the Geneseo or against the Utica again in January, or maybe even against Canton when they come back to town now that they've seen you once.
And that's what I'm kind of harping on, is that idea that, okay, you come in, you play Potsdam. That's a team you need to beat down on the power play, plain and simple. They're going to give you those opportunities. You got to take advantage. One thing to note is we talk about it kind of. There's a lot of individual talent, and maybe that chemistry isn't there yet. The special teams, although you look at it, although you practice it, it's not the number one thing you work on in practice. You work on that D zone. You work on the offensive pressure. You work on that breakout. In terms of special teams, we'll see what it looks like Friday night in the Deb and see what units we put together and see where the coaching staff goes with it. But to be honest with you, Thomas, you bring up the fact that the penalty kill is going to be a lot better Friday night. A 75% penalty kill is not great, plain and simple. And you got to bury on those chances. So for Oswego, I think the special teams is something to talk about. And obviously playing up and playing in that lead and playing with that compete and that intensity is another thing that we'll touch on heading probably into this Plattsburgh recap.
Yeah, absolutely. You want me to go with Plattsburgh?
Yeah, okay. Sure.
All right. Part two of the Rock the Red weekend at the Ronald B. Stafford Ice Arena. This past Saturday night in Plattsburgh, it resulted in a 2-2 tie. But once again, Oswego starting off rather sluggish. Plattsburgh popping in the first two goals of the game. A huge turning point in the game was Oswego forward number 22, Mac Lewis. Late in the first period, he got a 5-minute major in a game misconduct, which also led to Plattsburgh capitalizing on the second goal. So Oswego down 2-0 after the first. Kaz had 7 saves. Anthony Del Tufo at the other end with 8 saves. So you could say it was relatively competitive in between the two teams in the first period, and it was rather close, just a few unfortunate chances and opportunities more in favor of the Cardinals compared to Oswego State. But once again, we talk about how their second period turnaround has been effective this year, and Antonucci scores on the power play. As mentioned, you got pop-in goals on the power play instead and win those special teams matchups. So Antonucci scored on the power play at 5:26 in the second. And then that was from Alex DiCarlo and Broman. And then the second goal, they ended up evening things back up at 2-a-side at 12:55. That was DiCarlo from Sleeth and Robillard. I believe that was third assist on the weekend. So he's been putting in the playmaker name for himself on that line. So shots overall in this one were 32-20 in favor of the Cardinals, but Oswego outshot them 6-4 in that 5-minute overtime. In Suniac, they only play a 5-minute overtime, no shootout after that, results in a tie. But the sophomore from Plattsburgh, number 28, Carson Gallagher, he had 1 goal and assist in that game. Now has 6 points in 4 games so far, 2 goals and 4 assists. And if I'm Oswego, that's a name you got to pay attention to going into your next matchup against the Cardinals, because obviously he can score and obviously he can dish the puck. And as you mentioned, special teams is going to be a factor all season for relatively any team in the Suniac. Both teams went 1-for-3 on the power play, so that's 2-for-3 on the penalty kill for both teams, whichever way you look at it.
And we'll see Carson Gallagher whiteout weekend, January 22nd, here in the Debra F. Stanley, and that's going to be a huge game, obviously, but plenty of games prior to that. I want to talk about Mac Lewis real quick, the 5 in the game. So he's out for Friday, right? So That's physicality you use. I forgot about the hit. I don't remember seeing it. It was contact to head, but yeah. It was.
I heard it was hit, questionable,
and that's what I've been hearing too. So, we'll see what happens with that. Obviously, I feel like he'll be back in the lineup the following weekend. I don't really see why he wouldn't be. But yeah, missing him for Cortland this weekend, bringing that physicality that he always brings in that center role, will be missed definitely.
To be fair though, you bring him, you get him. In a way, rest it up this weekend if he doesn't play, if he's not in the lineup. And,
for Genesee,
yeah, next weekend, yeah, the following weekend, and, you get at Brockport.
That's the biggest. Yeah. I think that's the biggest weekend.
That's the turning point of the season. You got to get at least 3 points
at
out
least,
of that.
At but, least the biggest home weekend of the year.
Well, they go on the road against Brockport that Friday. So,
but I'm saying on the home end of things.
Oh, absolutely.
It's Geneseo at home.
I think this stretch with Cortland, Brockport, Geneseo might be the hardest three-game stretch you'll see all weekend or all season for this team. So it's early in the year and kind of moving. We could talk about that stretch when we do the Cortland preview. But thinking about Plattsburgh, you go to Plattsburgh, get the 2-2 tie. I remember last time they went to Plattsburgh, Kaz's first game or first, not first game, but like first full weekend in the Suniac, and they got the win there. And it's going to be Plattsburgh's a better team than what they were 2019-20. They're an older team now. They're older than the Oswego team, and they have a coaching staff that's growing and learning their identity as well. So Plattsburgh's going to be a good team to watch moving forward. And honestly, I think Oswego's happy to get out with a 2-2 tie.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say they're happy, I'm not saying they're happy, but getting a 2-2 tie.
Satisfied.
Satisfied.
Relieved it wasn't worse.
Exactly. Yeah.
That's I didn't want to say satisfied because I wouldn't be satisfied. Not satisfied.
I would say relieved.
I would say that's relieved it wasn't worse.
Yeah.
Because it easily could have been worse, and or easily could have been worse against Potsdam too if they didn't wake up in the second period. I do want to throw this out there. Carson Gallagher
of Plattsburgh. Early front runner, early favorite potentially for Suniac Player of the Year. I mean, Plattsburgh's not a bad hockey team. You know, normally the Player of the Years, they come from great hockey teams. Plattsburgh's a great hockey team. So I'll throw it out there just to, you know, kind of throw it out there. I mean, not that Travis Broman or Alex DiCarlo can't also be Suniac Player of the Year, but I think that Carson Gallagher has the potential.
He's off to a hot start. We talked about 6 points in four games. He's not doing bad. And right now, a sophomore that really an underclassman that's doing a great job, maybe like a Travis Broman for Plattsburgh, he's off to a solid start. So I guess that's the comparison I would make.
You want to take the women's?
Yeah, we can go in the women's. Women's recap now is the women's hockey team opens new HL with a bruise over Buff State, an 8-1 victory in the Deb Saturday afternoon. Nice little matinee game. And for this team, we talk about it, they went down 1-0 right off the start. They got Buffalo State got one shot on goal, and Oswego outshot them 21 in the first period. Bryn White was in goal for the Lakers. They go down 1-0 heading into the second, and Oswego capitalizes on the power play in the second and in the third. One goal scored with 1 minute and 26 seconds. The third period, though, all offense for the Lakers, 5 goals scored, and Corbett, Kirikasis, Hall, all with their first NCAA goals, and Shines and Grugan, players we talk about all the time, really, that kind of class that's been sticking around, that's been growing with this team. The sophomore class, it could be juniors right now. They took that extra year, and it's going to be good for this team moving forward. They both had 2 goals in the matchup, Teachout and Webster, with 3 assists each, and Bryn White, we'll talk about here between that, only 6 saves. On the other side, 51 saves for the Buffalo State goalie. And the last thing, power play, Oswego went 2-for-4 and 4-for-4 on the PK.
My thing is you missed probably one of the most important people in conversation here, and that's the new HL player of the week, Kylie Grugan.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, she had 2 goals in this game. She is off to a red hot start.
I was just recapping it so that we can eventually get to Grugan.
Oh, well, maybe I jumped. I don't care. Good. She has been absolutely incredible for the Lakers. I mean, she looks so comfortable out on the ice. She looks like, you know, she belongs in the Laker uniform in the green and gold. And
3 goals on the weekend.
3 goals on the weekend, as Thomas says.
7 shots.
So I'd say rather offensively productive in a way, one can argue. But yeah,
offensively. Wait, can you argue that?
Well, I mean, Shine's got two goals, as true. Mentioned. So
one thing I really want to know is I have the lines here from that Buffalo State game. Grugan's been playing on the fourth line while producing that. That just shows how much depth there is.
But is it really a fourth line, though?
No. I know that. But I'm just saying, okay, you list them as the fourth line. Obviously, it's four lines that could compete as a first line. That just shows how much depth there is on this Laker team.
Okay, because I thought you were saying
no.
You list them as the fourth line.
It's not like she's getting less playing time in any way possible. But head coach Mark Digby is doing a great job going through all four of his lines, using all of his players, and all their lines aren't struggling. We saw in the third period against Potsdam, which we'll talk about a little bit. They did rotate the lines a little bit. But this team has so many players that can put the puck in the back of the net. And it's really cool to see that Grugan listed as the right wing on the fourth line, technically, if you want to say, is the new HL player of the week.
Do we sound like a broken record yet, Thomas? About the fact that Coach Mark Digby
went to work. He did go work.
He just completely just remodeled his team to be able to do this, to be able to have such a deep bench, such a deep line in from top to bottom, first to fourth, everything. I mean, you look at every single, even extra skater was Ashton McAleer. Like, when you can have McAleer as an extra skater, you know you're doing something right.
Yeah, I completely agree on that. Like, I remember 2 years ago when we were doing prep for a women's hockey game, and we're looking at these lines and closing in on the end of the season. And we're looking at one of the things that I thought was almost a Achilles heel, rather, of Oswego, was their depth wasn't really there. You saw their first two lines consisted of Shines, Grugan, Teach Out, now graduated Aaron Stewart. That was really it, offense wise and overall wise. Like, you didn't see many people contributing, but now this year is a completely different team. As mentioned, a bunch of new people in the lineup, a bunch of freshmen, a bunch of sophomores, and they're getting the job done. They're putting goals in the back of the net, and Oswego State being rather successful in the beginning of the season.
And honestly, a good win, a good first 2 points in the new HL. If we're all settled with this, we'll head into Potsdam. I think the better game of the weekend, and let's talk about it. So women's hockey obviously coming in, playing on Sunday with another 3 o'clock matchup. They take on the Potsdam Bears. It'll be a 4-4 tie to end this conference game. And I'm going to be honest with you, Turgeon put it right. Shots do not matter if you cannot score. The Lakers outshot Potsdam 56-10. Goaltending was a huge situation for Potsdam and really brought this team to that 4-4 tie. And Oswego did a great job when they had the puck, and they really did put shots on net. And for Oswego, defensemen showing the way once again, as Zensine, Taggart, and Kennedy, a lot of those players also getting involved from that defensive core. On the power play, Oswego went 1-for-6, and Potsdam went 0-2 on the power play. Grugan with another goal. Taggart with two assists. Zensine with two goals in the game. Zerfla. We had it right Sunday. That was
we had it right Sunday.
You're 1-for-2 today. You got Kierkostas right, but you didn't get Zerfla.
and the goaltender for Potsdam with 52 saves. Hebert with 6. You summed it up right. An unfortunate weekend between the pipes for the Lakers. It didn't really face a lot of shots, but when they did face shots, some of them didn't bounce their way. And I think Coach Digby put that like really into fortune yesterday when we talked to him for TOP. He said that. He said, we were in that game and we fought back every game, which showed resilience coming back. And they were down every time that game. And they came back, fought back, tied it each time. But the puck didn't really bounce their ways when they had those opportunities, or it didn't bounce in favor of them on the other side of the box.
Yeah, but not even bouncing in favor of them, right? It shouldn't matter if it bounces in favor of them. When you outshoot a team
56 to 10,
you should be winning by
a lot,
by, you know, 5 goals, by whatever, however many goals you want, right? If you're going to let up 4 goals on 10 shots, which I'm not saying it is at the complete fault of the netminders, because it's not right. Sometimes the defense breaks down a little bit.
Oh, two of those goals. We talked about on the broadcast. Thomas and I were on the call for TOP, and we said, and one of the things I preached a lot during that broadcast was their defense when it comes to rush against them. Their transition defense is something that really struggled Sunday, and it was shown Sunday. Potsdam did a great job outworking them in that aspect of the game. And really, they get down, they get one shot on goal, possibly two, and the puck's in the back of the net before the Lakers even set up on defense.
I don't know if it's a speed thing. I don't know if it's a discipline thing. I don't know if they're coming in too deep in the offensive zone, in the attacking zone, and then they can't get back. I don't know what it is. Maybe I'll go back and watch some film and try and figure it out so we can talk about it on the broadcast. I think part of the reason is that we're just not quick enough
on the defensive side. No. I think the speed's fine. I think it's more what opponents have you played the past couple of weekends prior to Adrian and Trin back in, and then coming home and playing against Buffalo State, a team you don't really have to worry about on that transition offense. And Potsdam's probably one of the quicker teams that they played, besides maybe Adrian. They're competitive. That's always a competitive game, but it's that maybe that complacency on that back check, on that transition, like, oh, Joanna Hebert's in that. She'll get that save. We don't have to worry about this one player walking through our zone right now the rush. And that it's unacceptable at the end of the day. And that's what's going to need to change moving forward. That was really the only flaw to their game on Sunday, and it hurt them.
Yeah, you think that's going to fly? Yeah, you think, Thomas, you think that's going to fly against Plattsburgh?
Probably not, but as Zach mentioned, it's just some of the goals that we saw on Sunday afternoon, really, Hebert couldn't really do much on those. They were misfortunate bounces. Two of them I remember vividly in the second period. Stephanie Dunlap with two goals for the Bears. One of them that she scored, it was right on the rush. Took a shot. It ricochets off of Hebert's shoulder and then ended up finding in the back of the net. And then another one in the second period. Shot came on. It got blocked out in front. Took a few bounces off some bodies out in front. And then somehow got to the back door. And a Potsdam forward was able to bury it where I don't think anyone realized where the puck was until next thing you know, the whistle blew and Potsdam got on the board. So overall, I think transition game needs to be a little bit better, and commitment to team defense, that's not even a question. That needs to be better.
Yeah, Zach, I mean, you brought up one really good point too. You can't just be like, oh, we have Hebert in net. We'll be fine. You know, or we have Brim White in net. We'll be fine. That doesn't happen. Like, you can't just do that. All right. I bet you even the Devils and Marty Brodeur was in net. They weren't just like, oh, we have Marty Brodeur in net. We'll just sit here and make a save. No, it doesn't happen. You play defense because you want to pick up your goaltender. You don't let it go and play
Olay with them, right? I don't go around waving the red flag, having the bull coming at me, just letting them go. So I think the biggest thing to take away from the women's on the weekend is, like you said, their transition defense. And that's not going to fly against Plattsburgh, which we'll talk about. But in the meantime, I got a question.
Yes, sir. What's your question?
Do you ever wonder? Thomas is already laughing. Do you ever wonder what's going on around the Oswego campus, around the Oswego community? Right here in your living room? Well, do we have the best thing since sliced bread? The best thing for you, the Oswegonian. You can pick up a copy of your Oswegonian anywhere you want. We have 12 different places on campus. Really 14 if you think about it. 14 different places on campus. 12 different places off of campus. You can get it at your Subway, at the Sub Shop. If you'd rather the Sub Shop, Dunkin', you name it, you can get it there. Can't get it off campus. Come on, campus, right? Take a trip to the school store. You know, walk around the quad and pick up a copy of your Oswegonian. I did my crossword. I did my Sudoku. I love it. All right? That, you can find that in Lakeview Review. They also got opinion, news, and sports. How can it get much better than that? Trick question, it can't. Pick up a copy today of your Oswegonian.
Bingo.
or read it along on astragonian.com.
And I'll say bingo once again. That was a good average, bro. It's getting better week by week, and I'm proud of you.
I need to no start script. Writing them out, though,
because
I feel like I can do some wonders with that. I wish somebody would told me.
All right, heading into the recap section, let's talk preview. About it. Or the preview. Sorry, heading out of the recap section, heading into the preview. Men's hockey team only has one game this weekend. A little weird of a weekend for them, but maybe a deserved break after the 7 o'clock matchup against the Cortland Red Dragons Friday night in the Deborah F. Stanley Arena. But they don't get that break until they get the game completed and get the job done come Friday night. Let's talk about it. It's teal night. That's a huge thing. And Oswego is 80-11-2 all time against the Dragons. But the last time they played Cortland down in Cortland, they lost in overtime 3-2. That was one of the last games we saw Roche in net back in the 2019-20 season before Kaz took over. And Cortland comes in the weekend with a 6-5 OT loss at Plattsburgh. That was a game. I remember we were talking about that one, and the score was just going back and forth, and then heading with a 4-1 win over Potsdam. So if you want some comparables right there, both teams played the North Country road trips the past two weekends. There they are. The Red Dragons are 5-12 on the power play this season and 9-12 on the PK. Their top four leaders in points have 4 points and over in three games played.
Did you say 5-12 on the power
play? 5-12 on the power
play. 5-12.
Yeah.
That's pretty good.
That's not bad. Scary.
That's not bad.
For a Cortland team.
That's almost better than what Utica was last year. 5-12.
Can't do the math.
Quick math.
That's just over
41.
40%, right?
41.
Let's talk about how Cortland got here. Plattsburgh, they're in the Plattsburgh game, they're up two. Four different points during the game and allowed three unanswered, including the OT goal. The shots were 49-44 in favor of the Red Dragons. Potsdam outshot Cortland 43-35 in the loss. So goaltending, obviously a huge situation. Thomas, I'll let you continue the notes here, then we can have a little discussion.
Yeah, Potsdam, as mentioned, they're a competitive team, regardless of whatever club you look at, whether it's men's, whether it's women's, they come and they play you hard. Potsdam, overall, they lose 4-1. Cortland 1-3 on the power play in that game, 2-2 on the penalty kill. So it's shown that Potsdam's power play has struggled, and that's going to be a big talking point this year, looking at the Bears' overall season and what it comes down to. I think Cortland overall, they probably could have beaten Potsdam by a little more, but to be fair, their goaltending was anyway like it was against Oswego. We weren't able to watch that game. In a way, you could probably say that Potsdam's goalie showed up once again. But all the goals were scored in the first and second period. No goals were scored in the third. 4-1 win for the Red Dragons. And then that overtime loss against Plattsburgh, that, if I'm the head coach of the Red Dragons, that bothers me very much. It means you can't hold a lead. And I'm not saying that by any means in discretion to the coaching staff at Cortland, but you're up by two. You have four different times in that game where you're up by two goals. Four. That's something you cannot do. Like,
I've got to know how to play with the lead.
Yeah, it's pretty simple. You don't – if you're Plattsburgh, you're looking at it, and every time you bounce back a goal or two, and next thing you know, you're back in it, score a few goals, and tie it up, hang to overtime. But as I pull it up, I'm going to actually pull up the box score right now of that game. It went – Cortland went up 2-0, 3-1, 4-2, 5-3. And then Plattsburgh scored three goals within the final nine, three goals in the third period and then one in overtime after that to capture the win in overtime, secure 2 points based on the Suniak system. Overtime win only gets you 2 points and not the full three. Cortland gets out of there with an OT loss point. I mean, you take the loss, but you get a point that contributes to the standings nonetheless. Still, stings a little bit based off of what happened, but if you're Cortland, you got to learn how to play with a lead. It's plain and simple.
And I think Cortland is lucky to get a point out of that one. It could have been Plattsburgh coming back and getting the win in regulation. And I think they're fortunate to get out of there with 1 point. And now that the Suniac changes the point system around a little bit, Plattsburgh gets two and Curling gets that 1 point in the standings. And heading into this weekend, and one thing I want to talk about Friday night is, or tonight, is going to be that two-night game. That game is important for Oswego and that Oswego community. If anyone's been around this hockey team and this program and seen this hockey team, they know it's a big night. And hopefully the players know it's a big night as well come Friday night. Just because, like, one thing we talked about with Digby yesterday during interviews was that this is the first time that these players don't know Mary Gozick. 4 years, these players don't really know, like, didn't know her at all. And it's one thing with having this season off, how much this community knows about it heading into this winter and how, or and into tonight, and how much the students outside of the hockey team know about the situation as well. So I think tonight's going to be a big game. They're going to have to bring the energy, and hopefully the community brings the energy as well, like I expect them they would. And it's going to be an important night, obviously.
Yeah, Mary Gosek, late wife of Ed Gosek, passed away from ovarian cancer in 2017. And her legacy was really to just continue to raise awareness
about the disease. And, you know, I think she wanted to, or she would have wanted it to just continue on, and that's what it's doing. And that's why it's such a big weekend for both the women's and the men's teams, and just for the Oswego community. And so I know, like you said, Case, you know, a lot of these players never knew Mary Gosek, never met her or anything. But Digby did. And obviously, you know, for the men, Gosek's going to let them know why it's important, and they're going to come out there with some fire. And they're going to come out and really just do their job. And hopefully they can do it well. Hopefully they can win both those games, Friday and Saturday, the Teal games, because they are so important to the community. And something like this, that can spark a season for both sides. That can spark a season.
Exactly.
A meaningful, emotional win can turn it around, can flip the script. And I think that it could start this weekend.
Yeah, absolutely. But excuse me. While we're looking at that, on that Friday, Oswego plays Cortland, there's another vast amount of key matchups around the Suniac that Friday night. We talked about how competitive and relentless Plattsburgh is. They make the travel down to Geneseo to face off against the Knights, who are coming in hot, nationally ranked currently. So they play the Knights. Oswego plays Cortland, as mentioned. Potsdam goes to Brockport, and Hobart goes to Buff State. So Hobart, a very competitive team, also in the national rankings, goes to Buff State, who's coming off a 3-0 win this past Wednesday against the Morrisville Mustangs, a relatively close game. Shots were 24-21 in favor of the Bengals. So overall, big slate at hand going into this weekend. Oswego off on Saturday. But Saturday, also a few key matchups. Cortland plays Hobart this time, Plattsburgh and Brockport. Buff State facing off against another nationally ranked team in the Elmira Soaring Eagles. Fredonia and Morrisville and Potsdam and Geneseo, a rematch of that Suniac semifinal from 2 years ago. So overall, big weekend here in the Suniac men's weekend. I think Oswego, they got to get 3 points here.
Let's talk about the standings real quick. Cortland sits on top with 4 points, a 1-1 record heading into this weekend. Oswego tied with them, a 1-0-1 record in conference play, another 4 points. We talked about the new point system, 3 for a win, 2 for a win in OT, 1 for that loss in overtime. And if they tie, it's 1-1. So they, overall, the standings, you lose a point somewhere in the mix. And Plattsburgh, sitting in second, obviously tied or in that second spot, third overall, really. 3 points, 1-0-1 record. Brockport, 1-0 for 3 points. Buffalo State, 1-0 for 3 points. And Geneseo, 1-0 for 3 points. In the basement right now, Fredonia, who hasn't played at all yet in the conference, Morrisville, 0-3. Potsdam, 0-2. A team that's 0-2 that is dangerous at 0-2. We haven't talked much about Morrisville yet. I know they played Wednesday night against Buffalo State, 3-0 loss. So that's something to note. But Morrisville eventually will come to town, I think, December 4th,
yep,
for the Teddy Bear Toss against Oswego. Really, that's all I got on the Beds. Yeah. I think it's going to be a good matchup. Excited to be on the call. I think it's one of the more, I think it's one of the most important games in, for the Oswego community and for the Oswego team. And this weekend's going to be big.
Oswego community as a whole, absolutely spreading awareness of ovarian cancer, as well as the impact that Mary Gosick had on the community, women's hockey as a whole, men's hockey as a whole, really hockey in general in the community itself here in Oswego. But as you mentioned, we're talking about Morrisville a little bit. They also lost to Brockport and Geneseo in conference play. Brockport by a score of 5-2 this past Saturday, and Geneseo by a score of 5-1. So in retrospect, you're leaving it somewhat competitive. It's not like you're getting blown out of the water, but you're still 0-3 to start Suniac play, and that's digging yourself a hole in a way if you want to crack that top six going into the playoffs.
Mike, yeah, any final
yeah,
comments?
Yeah, just this weekend's bigger than hockey. But still, if you can,
come out.
Enjoy some hockey. If you can't, I understand.
That's why you have TOP.
That's why you have TOP. That's why you have NYL. Go ahead, listen. And you know what? Read some of the articles online from the Gonian, from TOP, from NYL. They all do great work. And each article, it's going to give you a different perspective, or a new perspective, I should say. And please go out and support everybody here at the media organizations. All right. That was around the SUNYAC. Oh, I was going to say one more thing. And now I forgot it.
Oh, boy.
Oh, we'll never see that point. But my women's hockey.
Literally never. See ya.
The women's hockey team. Heads to Cortland. They'll play in Cortland Friday night, a 5 p.m. puck drop. Weird time for a Friday night game.
I'm guessing. Actually,
there's nothing. There's that. Nothing, yeah, behind us. So 5 o'clock matchup on SUNY Cortland's campus. Not a bad rig they got down there in Cortland. I wouldn't say it's the best of the SUNY Act, but it's not too shabby.
It's okay.
It's not too shabby. What's wrong, Mike? What?
I just took a bite of
my
chip. Hold on.
All right, let me move into the matchup, and then we can head back to the arena conversation if it's so bad. 23-12-11 all-time versus the Red Dragons. They have tied two of the last three matchups. And Cortland
sounds familiar, like, yeah, Potsdam.
Cortland's kind of like that team that Oswego deals with Potsdam. Those two teams, the three teams, like to tie a lot. That's what happened back in the 2019-20 matchup.
Cortland and Potsdam were the tiebreaker 2 years ago, too.
Yeah.
And four seed.
And the Red Dragons are 2-1 on the season with wins against Alverdia, 7-2 win. Wow. And Lebanon Valley, a 3-0 win for the shutout. A trip to Plattsburgh, 5-1 loss against the number one ranked team in the nation, the Plattsburgh Cardinals in women's hockey. Plattsburgh went 2-for-6 on the power play and outshot the Dragons 49-24. And Thomas, I'll give it back to you once again to finish it up. But Oswego, it's going to have a matchup come Friday night.
Yeah, and for this one, I think the one key point is – well, two key points, rather, is you got to commit to team defense, and you got to score, and you got to score first. That's – that. Not only do you have to score, you have to score first. Oswego State hasn't had a first period lead at all this season. That's not including the exhibitions at all.
So I was right when I said nothing. That on the podcast. I was a little nervous.
They've never had a lead in the first period ever.
That's going to change this weekend.
I hope so, because that, I think, is so critical. You got to set the tone right. And you talk about things like that. You can't go down 1-0 to a team like Buff State. You're out shooting them 20-1. And the one shot they do, it's in the back of the net. And you're down to a team that you really should be up by numerous goals.
Hey, Thomas, and guess what? You cannot be down 1-0 to a team like Cortland in the first period of this Friday's game.
Oh, absolutely.
You know why? Because Cortland is a little better than Buffalo State. Just FYI. So really, honestly, yeah, you're going to get off that bus and you're going to have to play the first 20 minutes. Plain and simple, come out flying Friday night and get a good start that the team has really been missing so far this first part of the season.
Yes and no. I agree with that a little bit, only because we've noticed how dominant they have been in the second period. The first period, they show up a little bit. They're like, oh, yeah, It's time to play.
You're telling me that would they play a team like Plattsburgh on Saturday or
Cortland Oh, you can't do that. No.
You can't take 20 minutes off.
No, right? But I'm saying in their past matchups, their first periods have been okay, but they need to be better.
Isn't that the argument with both of these teams, though? With both the men's and women's
teams? Oh, absolutely. Hands down.
We said it last weekend. They need to have play a full 60 on the men's side.
Yeah,
the
women's play side full now, 20 for that.
The women's side now is that situation where you need to play the first 20. They play the 40, second and third period, but we're missing.
The men got to play the 22, the first.
They 20. Do. Oh, that Potsdam game was not good for them.
I mean, you can't just go down every single game and expect to battle back to a tie or a one goal victory, right? Like that doesn't happen. It won't happen against a Geneseo. It won't happen against Brockport. Okay, it probably won't even happen in the Pathfinder when Augsburg.
It didn't happen against Hobart.
It barely happened against Plattsburgh.
It barely happened against Elmira, and they took the loss to a one goal game.
It's not going to happen against Utica. I mean, we could go on and on and on, but until they fix it, until they go ahead and grab a lead, even if it ends where they are tied or even down a goal at the end of the first, if they go out and grab a lead, they're going to feel a lot better about themselves because not only did they score a goal in the first period, but they came in already awake and they came in ready to play some hockey.
Yeah. So they were down two times in their first four games after the first period, one against Buffalo State and one against Trin. Adrian, they were scoreless after one, and Potsdam, they were tied at two aside after one. But Potsdam scored the first two goals of the game. And if you're Oswego, you're playing against Potsdam. Potsdam had 10 shots all game as we keep going on like a running record, broken record. You got to put the puck in the back of the net. You can't just allow to be down early to a team like Potsdam, a team like Cortland, who can be relatively comparable to a team like Potsdam, very competitive. Their goaltending's always solid. Their offense is, it's there, but it's not completely there. But they're capitalizing on the chances that they're able to get. So, overall, as Zach mentioned, Oswego needs a first period start, regardless of the team you're looking at. It's both teams this weekend. They need a first period start so bad that it almost pains me to say it. But if hot take here, potentially, I think if you don't have a hot start against Cortland, really, for both teams, I think you could potentially lose that matchup.
I want to focus real quick on the women's team, though, because they have so much talent from top to bottom. There should be no reason you can't go ahead and grab a lead in the first period. There should be no reason you go into the first intermission with a 0-0 tie, down a goal, down two goals. Not that that's going to happen against Cortland. I'm not saying that's going to happen.
Knock on wood right now.
I think that's good enough.
Sure.
There should be no reason that happens. If it does, then you got some serious character issues because you don't have enough confidence in yourself.
You don't have enough confidence in the people you're playing around to be able to go out and score those goals in the first period and take and grab that lead. My thing is you need to go into every game thinking, knowing you are the better team because – in most of these matchups, the Oswego State women's hockey team is the better team. I would say the only time that you go out and you may think otherwise is against Plattsburgh, but you can't. No, you may expect otherwise is against Plattsburgh, but you can't think otherwise, right? You need to go in there with the same mindset of, oh, we're good enough. We can beat this team, right? We have improved so much, but there's still ways to go. But even then, I believe we can beat this team. We believe we can beat this team. And that's something that we're not seeing from the Oswego State women's hockey team.
Yeah, absolutely. And I remember we were talking to Phil Miategar in previous weeks. She stressed the importance of playing against, quote, faceless opponents. Don't look at a team because of their ranking or because of how they are. Like you look at, you can underestimate them. You can overestimate them. But if you play a team that you're just like, okay, we're going to play our game. We're going to focus on us. And that's the only priority in this game. Then that's the best way to look at it. You're looking at, say, imagine you do get Buff State and then you get Plattsburgh in a back-to-back weekend. I'm not saying that'll ever happen, but that's something that would be an issue if you looked at based off of team wise, because then you're going from Buff State to Plattsburgh, a team that's nationally ranked, numerous national championships. That could be an issue. But if you're Oswego State, it's going to be a competitive weekend, regardless of the circumstances.
I'm going to kind of stick with Bubba here on this one and kind of maybe quote something from an interview yesterday. Is Philomene Taggart, captain of the team, she said their approach is not knowing the opponent or not really focusing on the opponent. I think that's a strong argument. That's really how you should approach any game. You play the game you want to play.
I think Digby said the same thing.
Digby said the same thing.
They haven't even talked about their opponent.
It's this faceless opponent. That's what they're quoting it as. That's what they're calling it is. Who cares who you're playing this weekend? At the end of the day, you come here, you play Lakers hockey, you can focus on Cortland Cup Friday. You can talk about it on the bus ride down, talk about whatever special teams, what power play format they're going to run. But at the end of the day, you're playing Lakers hockey. You're playing that gritty hockey that everyone talks about. And that's the way that I think anyone should approach a game, and that's how they're going to approach it this weekend.
Have we talked about Plattsburgh yet?
No. Let's move on to Plattsburgh, because obviously that's the biggest game here.
Whoop, there it is. Reality check.
Reality check.
Or it could be a reality check.
Let's
say you go ahead and beat Cortland. Fine. Fantastic. You won your Friday night game. Well, you got the big bad Plattsburgh coming in to the Deb, into the Deb for the first time, into the newly named Deb, should I say. 138-1 all time versus the Cards. Last victory was in 2016. It was a 3-2 win at Plattsburgh, which we said before. They were the number one team. They upset them. But their last matchup was the New HL final in 2020, where Plattsburgh won 6-1, and they scored two goals in each period. So they really divvied it up. They spread it out. I mean, they're a real good team.
Yeah.
They just every single year, they're a real good team. But this year particularly, I believe Oswego is a lot closer to their level of play.
Oh, absolutely. And we saw it, I want to say 2 years ago, that Oswego pushed them. I think one of the finals was only 3-1.
Yeah, so that was here.
In reality, yeah, Mike, as you mentioned, you think they're a lot closer than you think, but that we haven't seen, like, what Oswego State team are you going to get? Are you going to get the team that they played against Adrian with? Are you going to get the team that can pop in four goals but can't commit to team defense in Potsdam?
What's the issue?
That's an issue for really both teams, but we're going to focus still with the women's team here. Plattsburgh's a big test, and they were dominant in every game they've played so far. They played Cortland to a 5-1 win, as mentioned. Annie Katanka, the defenseman, recording a hat trick. Defenseman with a hat trick?
Exactly.
Hello. Exactly. And then Wednesday night, we're recording this on Thursday morning, so this is last night, but they played the number 7 ranked team in the nation in the Norwich Cadets. Little Vermont-Northern New York matchup, only about 2 hours in between the two. A dominant sounding win, 4-1 over the Cadets at the Ronald B. Stafford Ice Arena in Plattsburgh. 3 straight goals in the second, and then they also outshot them 41-21. You're the number 1 ranked team, and you're being the number 7 ranked team, 4-1, and outshooting them by practically double. I'm sorry, but that's a team. That's through and through commitment everywhere.
Get a load of this guy, Case. That's a team.
That's a team.
That is a team.
That's a team. It's plain and simple. You're getting scoring all around. You're committing to team defense, and you're outplaying teams in a nationally ranked game. And not by a little. You're outplaying them by a lot. 41-21 shots, as mentioned, 3 straight goals in the second. 4-1 win overall, and a huge statement marker if you're Plattsburgh going into this weekend against Oswego State. And I want to say they play Buff State on that Friday, which I can guarantee a win there. I just don't see Buffalo State pulling off a majestical upset with the Bengals against the Cardinals this weekend before they come to Oswego State. Yeah. But
I want to throw something out there. The tie did not help this weekend.
Oh, absolutely not.
The Lakers. they were on the brink, on the edge of getting voted in. And now they didn't even get any votes. The USCHO Division III women's poll. Adrian's still hanging strong at 10.
It doesn't look like they're going to be ranked after this week either, unless they give Plattsburgh a run for their money and maybe only lose by one goal or tie them or even, I mean, if they get a point, I can see them getting.
If they go 2-0, they're going to get votes. I don't think they're going to be ranked.
If they go and beat Plattsburgh, they're going to be ranked.
I'm going to be honest with you. I don't believe one game will make or
break a team.
Mike got out of his chair, ladies and gentlemen.
Let's think about it. You tie a team Potsdam. You obviously scrape Buffalo State. You take two wins out Midwest.
No. Forget about that. My thing is, you go ahead and you beat Adrian, right? Then you beat Plattsburgh. That's two. Not one, but two. Nationally top 10 ranked. Wins on your resume. That's not good enough for you?
I'm going to be honest
with you. What's good enough for you?
Compare it for you. If a team walks in and beats Bama on a football game, are they ranked the next week?
Yeah.
Wasn't Texas A&M ranked the next week?
And they kept moving up to 14, 13.
I just don't whoop, like. There it I don't
is.
Believe.
Whoop, with, there it is.
I don't believe with.
How are you?
With how Oswego currently sits in a national setting where they can't even get points, and the poll has shown that no matter really what happens, it's kind of that program prestigiousness and how it's sitting. That one win this early in the season will not move them automatically into the 10th or 9th spot.
I
don't believe they'll get both.
Plattsburgh goes ahead and they smush. There's no other way to say it besides using the word smush, the term smush. Norwich, okay? Outshot them, almost doubled their shots. Norwich is the number 7 team in the country. Through the transitive property, guys, if Oswego beats Plattsburgh, they're also better than Norwich. Norwich would have to drop. Oswego has to come up and be above Norwich.
Okay, fair enough statement. I agree with that. If Oswego gets, this is my take on it. Oswego wins against Cortland and Oswego ties against Plattsburgh, I think they get votes.
I agree.
If they beat Plattsburgh, upset nation, fire it at me. Fire me up about this one. If they beat Plattsburgh, if they sweep this weekend, they are in the top 10, and that is a statement that you can book. I am confident in that.
Put it in the parlay.
Book that, and there's no doubt in my mind. You beat the number one team in the nation. You've only beat this team once ever, history-wise. Once ever, ever. 3-2 win in Plattsburgh when Plattsburgh was number one team in the nation. They weren't not ranked. They weren't a team that's not dominant. This was a team that was legit.
Hey, listen, I am all on the side of Bubba. I don't know what Zach is talking about.
You're not even letting me talk.
You're right. I don't need to let you talk.
Stand by. We're
standing by. I don't even need to let you talk. Okay? That's the difference.
Hear me out.
Because it's a blasphemous statement. That's what it is. It's blasphemy.
I'm just saying there's no shot that if they go 2-0 this weekend, they're ranked 10th. I think they get votes once again, and they're highest in the votes category. No. But hold on. I don't believe that they'll be ranked even in the slightest.
Hold on, wait a minute.
And I don't think anyone really cares if they're ranked.
Hold on.
So this is throwback, major throwback. When Oswego beat Plattsburgh that weekend, so little statistics, Oswego lost to them 7-1 that Saturday, and they played them again that Sunday and beat them 3-2. After Oswego did that, the following weekend, they went to Williams. They were currently sitting at 8-1 on the season. They go to Williams. Can anyone tell me if they were ranked or not? Zachary Case,
If Williams was ranked?
No. Oswego State was ranked 7th in the nation.
Boom!
7th in the nation. after beating the number one seed. So that's my evidence. That's going to be my take on it. Oswego State, if they win both times this weekend, Gross is pulling out the duct tape. But regardless of the circumstances,
see you guys next episode.
Oswego gets it done with a ranking, a national ranking, if they get the two wins this weekend. Will they, though? That's a good question. There's a lot of question marks. What's it going to take for Oswego to take down what one could say the big kahuna of the national D3 women's?
All right. Well, then give me your thoughts.
Prediction. I predict. Are we going to go with predictions, or are we going to ask what's it going to take? Because we could do both.
Well, do it within the predictions.
Okay.
Do it within the prediction.
What is it going to take? Obviously, I sound like a broken record. Team defense is going to be huge. You got to protect Hebert or White, whichever one gets the start. It wouldn't surprise me if Digby flip-flops them again and one of them gets the nod on Friday and one of them gets the start on Saturday. But regardless of the circumstances, I hate to say it, but I think Oswego goes 1-1 on the weekend women's-wise. I am not completely confident in that. I think it's going to be close in that Plattsburgh game, but I don't see them beating Plattsburgh this time. They're going to see him again two more times, obviously, but I don't see them getting the job done right now, especially after the fact that that matchup against Potsdam leaving a little bit of a sour taste, one could say. I think Oswego splits the weekend. Cortland win, Plattsburgh loss, but very close. It's going to be a very slim margin. Men's, I'm going to go with men's go 1-0 on the weekend. They capture the dub here in the Deb on Teal Night against the Red Dragons. I'm not going to go with a score there, but if I could guess, probably I'd say one goal game, low scoring, because Oswego's goaltending's been solid, and Cortland, their goaltending has been solid, even though Plattsburgh was able to put six on them. I think overall their goaltending is pretty solid.
I'm going to stay here with Turgeon. I think he's right. Honestly, but men's hockey's going to win Friday night against Cortland. I think it's going to be a two-goal game, though. One's going to be an empty net. So it'll be that tight one-goal battle until the empty net comes.
Tonight.
And women's hockey, I think they get the win against Cortland. Earlier, we're posting this on Friday, so it's technically tonight.
But today's Thursday.
Yeah, you're not wrong. I'm just telling you. Women's hockey goes 1-1. I think you're right. Cortland, they get a win, and Plattsburgh, they take the loss. But I think you're right. A top matchup against Plattsburgh, and I think it's going to be a tight one. But when it comes down to, I don't think Oswego could get the win this time they play Plattsburgh. Next time they play Plattsburgh, it's a different situation.
Because they have obviously each team's playing style is different. So Oswego compared to Norwich is going to be completely different. So you look at what did Oswego do wrong that Plattsburgh was able to capitalize
on? And I think
what did Norwich do
wrong? I think it's going to be a wake-up call for this hockey team. It kind of Potsdam was a wake-up call for the women's hockey team, but I think Plattsburgh will be a wake-up call, and they will come flying the next time they play the Cardinals.
They got their full 8 hours, baby.
Oh boy.
They got their full 8 hours. They got their beauty rest.
Pull the elf. I got a full 40 minutes.
Are you ready?
Oh boy. And don't tell me clean sweep.
Clean sweep.
Oh my God, he did it.
That's the way I'm feeling.
So Turgeon and Case will be ahead of Gross come next.
Did
you tell everyone that we're all 5-3?
Yep, we're all currently 5-3. We all got last weekend right on the women's end. On the men's end, we obviously think we all picked. I picked a sweep all around. Brooms out for everyone. But the men's, obviously, they won one and tied one, so that's an L. And the guys picked a split for the men's end, so that's also an L. So that makes us all sitting at 5-3. Case and I with the same pick, so either Gross is going to jump over both of us or Gross is going to fall to the bottom of the standings with picks-wise.
Can I explain why I think
that? Okay.
No, of course.
No, absolutely. I like
– You know, Case, I don't like your attitude.
No, I was just saying, of course. Like, explain, yeah.
Yeah.
Little detail. Give us your insight.
So angry on a Thursday morning.
Oh, I am angry.
He's very
because you don't think they're good enough.
Listen, you fired him up, and now you have to face the wrath of Michael.
When you tie Potsdam, I don't believe you should be ranked.
But when you beat Plattsburgh, I believe you should be ranked. My thing is, You go ahead and you beat the number one team in the country. You're wrecked. You're wrecked.
You're wrecked.
Does that not, I mean, you're already set off because Adrian is still ranked above you and you already beat them, right? That should already be in the back of your mind. Now you go ahead and you have a chance to leap up over Adrian, to possibly leap up over Norwich and really make a statement in Division III hockey in the new HL.
My thing is, you got to go and do it. And I believe that the girls are good enough to do it. On the men's side of things, clean sweep, right? Or, well, just the one game. But it goes into the clean sweep, the 3-0 sweep, on the weekend for both these teams. I believe it should happen. I believe it's going to happen. And there's nothing you can do or say to stop me.
I'm going to be honest with you. I think you're not far off either. Like, honestly, I could go either way with it. But I'm going to stay on the side I am, obviously. I already said it. But you're not wrong with a clean sweep. Like I said, it's that Plattsburgh game is going to be close. Either way, I just don't think it's going to be this weekend.
It really depends on what team you get, though. As we mentioned, Oswego's
– exactly.
Both teams, really, exactly. Men's and women's, they've both been very inconsistent, especially in the first period. They've been – well, they've been consistent at being very sluggish in the first period. But regardless, I think – I think Plattsburgh just gets it done just based off of pedigree this weekend. And I think Plattsburgh gets two wins against Buff State and Oswego. Oswego splits the weekend with Cortland and Plattsburgh.
All right. I have some breaking news.
Oh, boy.
From our dear friend at WNYO, Aaron Valentino.
Oh, boy.
This is the second day in a row that he's awake before 10:30. If you don't know anything about Aaron Valentino, we should have him on the pod. Because I think next week I'm going to try and get him on the pod because I think he'd be really good for – the weekend of Geneseo for the men's team.
We should have Jake come on the pod because he's going to Geneseo this weekend.
Well, I'd like to have them both on the pod at some point. I'd like to start having
some. I would say Jake wouldn't be a bad call though because he's going to go watch Geneseo this weekend.
He's watching the Potsdam game, which it irritates me because I wish he went to the Plattsburgh Geneseo game instead. Yeah. But
responsibilities, you know, like maybe we have our own game Friday night.
Yeah, but
so. I'd like to have Aaron on. Aaron does a lot for WNYO as a sports director, and he's got some really good insight all the time on this team. And so I think that this is going to be a good week. The fact
because of the fact that he's up before 10:30 two days in a row. This is Nostradamus, right? This is some form of whatever it is. I don't know. He's up, which means he's ready to go, and so were the Lakers. 3-0 on the weekend.
Oh,
that is my
gross take. Gross is affiliating his pick with the fact that the WNYO sports director is up before 10:30 two straight days in a row. So that's what we're going with. Okay. I don't know, but regardless, I think
before we close, one final thing is obviously go follow Oswegonian Multimedia Department on Twitter at Gonian_MMD. You can follow the rest of us on Twitter as well. And closing thoughts, boys, before we end it.
Well, I guess come out for Teal Night. That's really all I can say because come out for a great cause and some great hockey nonetheless.
Teal game, Teal weekend. This is going to be a really good weekend of hockey for both these teams. I can safely say we're going to have three wins on the weekend. The two of you may not. But that's all good with me. All right. Thank you so much for tuning in to this episode of the Oswegonian Hockey Podcast. For Zach Case, Thomas, Bubba Turgeon, I'm Michael Gross, saying so long and sail on.